Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Welcome. Thank you for joining me. Please open your King James Bibles to the book of Ruth, R-U-T-H, Old Testament, chapter 1, verse 1, new book today. Before we begin, I want to invite everyone under the sound of my voice to come to my school each Sunday, 5 p.m., for this anointed word and prayer following. Come each Wednesday, anointed word, 6 p.m. on Wednesdays, and warrior prayer following. And each Thursday, come between 12 noon and 2 p.m. My twin friend Scott meets me here, and we pray for anything that walks in the door, even if it's a puppy dog. And you may call us on the phone, and we will pray for you. Now, Ruth, the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1. The title of the book of Ruth is Nearest Kinsman Redeemer. In the very physical, in the natural, where we all have to live in these little clay bodies, if there's a car pileup and someone dies, they put the body in the morgue, and the reporters cannot get the information until the nearest kinsman has gone there to claim the body or to redeem the body. Now for you, you were lost in trespasses and sin, and death was your eternal punishment. But your nearest kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, came and bailed you out. He was the only one. He is nearer to you than your parents, because God knew you before you were in your mother's womb. And Ezekiel 18 says all souls belong to him. He's closer to you in kinship than your spouse, your husband, your wife, your child, your parents, your brother, your sister. So he is our kinsman redeemer. And we know that when Jesus said, "It is finished," on the cross, that Joseph of Arimathea was granted the privilege to get Jesus' body, to bury it. Why is that? Because Joseph of Arimathea, history tells us, was Mary's rich uncle, the nearest kinsman redeemer. So keep that in mind. Ruth is one of only two books in the Bible that are named after women. And the book of Ruth is always read at Pentecost. Why? Because a male speaks and a female speaks. Now, Ruth is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. You read the Gospels and they say so-and-so begat so-and-so. You will see that Ruth is there and that actually she's the great-grandmother of our beloved shepherd King David. Now, you'll say, well, Ruth can't be in Jesus' genealogy. God was trying to keep that seed line pure. She's a Gentile. No, that's the lie. She's not a Gentile. Ruth is a Moabitess, Moab. If you read the Bible in Genesis, you'll find that Moab is the son of Lot by an ancestral relationship, but nevertheless his son, and Lot is the nephew of Abraham. There could be no impure seed line there, so Ruth is in that genealogy. And so Ruth's name means beauty.
Book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled.
Now this is written during those time of the judges. Thank goodness I just finished teaching the great book of Judges. If you'll remember, as we studied that book just before Ephesians, we found that when the people did right in the sight of the Lord, God would bless the land. But then when they did not have a good spiritual leader, they would go astray. So it's kind of like that now, okay, the same time frame.
That there was a famine in the land.
Now remember that when God's people would go astray, that sometimes a famine would come or the enemy would come and steal the food. Now Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that these things happened to them in the Bible, for an admonition, warning, instruction for those of us who are at the end. We're in the fifth trump, we're at the end. So what does this mean? Now the children of Israel are in the promised land at this writing, and all the characters you're about to hear about are in the promised land. God gave them that. I mean, he knocked himself out to bring them out of Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, but they're in the promised land. But there's a famine in the promised land. You live in the promised land because you believe that Jesus died on the cross. His blood has washed away your sins, and you have his word, you have his spirit. And yet many of you are starving to death for the word of God. Amos 8:11, there's a famine in the land at the end time, not of bread, of water, but of every word of God. So you see, you can be coming to church all the time and starving to death. We need every word of God. So this is a message to God's church. The famine in the church in the United States of America today, the Christian church, is not for bread or water. It is for the word of God. Let's get back to the word. Reform. Reform the church and back to the word. Every word of God.
And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi.
Okay, now there's a man there, he's an Israelite, he's God's people, he's living in the land, and he has a wife named Naomi. Now Naomi is an important character here, her name means the pleasant one. Everybody loved Naomi. I mean, she's just the kind of a person, she came in and you felt better. You knew if you could just get to Naomi, she was going to say, don't you give up, God's going to help you. Don't you love to be around people like that, encourage you instead of somebody saying, duh. And so there they are, they got a famine in the land, and he says, I'm going to take my family to Moab. Moab worshiped strange gods. Yes, Moab was Lot's nephew, Lot's son, and Lot was Abraham's nephew, but they worshiped strange gods. They had gone, so they even put their children in the fire. So he's in the promised land, and he says, God's not able to provide bread for me here in the promised land, so I'm going to go somewhere else and find me some bread for my wife, and we're going to find out about his two sons also. Now, these things happen at the end. Soon and very soon, the sixth trumpet is going to sound. That will be the Antichrist taking the place of pretending to be Christ. And the whole world will go after him. Half the body of Christ will go after him. Now, what's going to happen? The Christians that are going to be deceived are going to think that he is Jesus, and so they're going to think, wait just a minute, I've got to go to him to get the bread. Because remember, the Antichrist says you cannot buy nor sell except you worship him. So the Christians, like Elimelech, are going to go to the strange one, Zer in the Hebrew, the Antichrist, and say, give us your bread, and he will give you all the bread. You won't pay your mortgage and give you a new car also. And he will say he is the Savior. Peace and safety cause craft to prosper. Do you understand? So they're going to go to Moab. So see, many Christians are going to leave the sanctuary, the Word of God, as a Christian, and go to the Antichrist and go to Moab and worship a strange god so that you can have some food to eat, get your mortgage paid, and so forth. We're studying Psalms on Wednesday night, and there's a whole series there, Levitical section, talking about the man in the sanctuary. Sometimes he's in the sanctuary, and sometimes he's out. Elimelech is wrong to leave the promised land. If we studied the book of Judges, which we just did, we found that even like Gideon, they had a harder time when there was a famine. But Gideon got bread. He was down there threshing wheat in the wine press. Remember that?
Yeah.
But he got the bread. Just because it gets hard doesn't mean you quit and run away to another god.
Amen.
Quitters never win anyway. So he's making a terrible mistake, as will the body of Christ, by going to a strange land, to a strange god, to get his bread.
The name of his two sons, Nani and the Carrion, Ekatok.
Okay, the two sons' name, both of their names, the first one means sick, and the second one means pining away. So we're going to find out their destiny, okay?
And they came into the country of Moab and continued there.
Okay, so they go to Moab and they stay there for a while. It cannot have been pleasant. Once you have touched the promised land, once you have the Holy Spirit power on you, once you have the fellowship of kindred spirits and the light, and you walk supernatural, and you overcome, and you overcome, and you overcome, it makes you sick to be back in the fog and with people. Did you know that there are people that you associate with that actually make your body sick? It will actually make you sick. I experienced this, to be with people who are perpetually down and not up. So I can't believe that this was a healthy situation, and we're going to find it wasn't.
Verse 3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died.
So there goes, the man dies, Elimelech dies. Now the wages of sin is death. To go after the Antichrist so that you can have some bread. The Antichrist is death. Jesus came to defeat death, whose name is the devil. Hebrews 2:14. The wages of sin is death. So see, he got what he deserved. We're not criticizing the man. He's a good man, but he made a mistake.
And left her with two sons.
She's got two sons, though. That's okay. The woman needed some man to take care of her.
Verse 4, and they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, And the name of the other was Ruth.
Okay, so they found these two pretty girls. Girls got married very early. They're two Moabite girls. One is named Oprah, and it means like a fawn. And one is Ruth, and her name means beautiful. So they get married, and Naomi's there.
And they dwelt there about 10 years.
Okay, they're there about 10 years. Notice there are no children. This is God's plan.
Verse 5, and Mahlon and Chilion died also.
Okay, so sick and pining away died also. You might say, you mean they died because they went to a foreign country? If you are used to living in a spiritual realm, that doesn't mean you're crazy or don't have common sense. We have more common sense than people have any idea. But if you're living there, if you had to go and live where there was none of that, you would become sick in your body. And I have many experiences with people telling me this kind of thing, and I know it myself. Some of you are perpetually sick in your stomach because you associate with people who have no light whatsoever, so they died. The famine in the land was there. You need the bread of God.
Both of them. And Naomi was left of her two sons and her husband. Verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had the country of Moab, how that the Lord had visited his people.
Now, God had already given her a little encouragement. She had heard that God had blessed the people back in Israel in Bethlehem, house of bread, and that the famine was relieved there and the people were blessed. So she said, I know what, I'll go back to my house. So she packs up her belongings there and saddles up a donkey and walks out the door. What about the two girls?
And giving them bread. 7. Wherefore she went forth out of the place with two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah.
I am sure all three of them were stunned in a state of trauma. And the two girls had been there 10 years. They loved her. She's the pleasant one. She was like their mother, their friend. They had watched her worship the one true God, where they worship pagan gods there in Moab. So automatically they just go with her in a trance. They start walking toward Bethlehem of Judea.
And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you. You have dealt well with the dead and with me. Verse 9, the Lord grant you that you will find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband.
Now, in all of her grief and a whole life changed and feeling very empty, Naomi still, being an elect, could look out from her grief and care about these two young women. She said, no, you don't want to come with me. I would be a burden to you. And I know you feel you ought to come with me because you ought to. But just both of you are young. You have no children. Go back to your mother's house. And maybe God will be kind enough and give you a wonderful husband. And you can still feel safe there. When you are in your darkest pain, where there is no word to tell how much you're hurting, how much it crushes you, can you still get out of yourself and think of others? And get out of yourself and have compassion and go and do something for others? Can you do that? Most people don't. I have a prayer line. When a person's got a trouble, that trouble is all there is. I do understand that. Been there, done that. But if we could just pull ourselves out of ourselves, it's an inside job. So Naomi thinks of these two girls. They need a husband. They're young enough. They're beautiful. They could get husbands.
Then she kissed them, and they lift up their voice and wept.
They grieved and cried.
Verse 10, and they said unto her, surely we will return with thee into thy people.
No, we're going with you, Mother Naomi, they said.
Verse 11, and Naomi said, turn ye, my daughters, why would you go with me?
Why would you want to go with me? I know you're being kind. Now, I want to tell all of you, sooner or later, you're going to meet people, maybe your own parents, who are getting along in life. You are the nearest kinsman, and you are to take care of them, not throw them away like cattle or put them in someone else's jurisdiction. And you are not to help them because you ought to, with a snarky remark on it, what a burden it is, but with great love. maybe it was inconvenient for them to take care of you when you were a baby.
Are there yet any sons in my womb?
The custom was if the son died, the next son died, to wait for the next son to be born, you could marry him. But she says, look, I'm too old. I'm not going to get married again. I'm not going to have any more babies. I don't have any more husbands for you girls.
One day, maybe your husbands. 12, turn again, my daughters. Go your own way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, then I should have a husband.
Now her sense of humor comes out. Remember, her name means the pleasant one. She said, you know, Oprah, Ruth, I mean, if I could just have a little hope that I go back over there, that somebody, you know, that used to like me when we were young, that he was going to ask me to marry him. And she's about to say, and if I could get pregnant, are you going to wait for the child to grow up? It'd be too old for you then. You'll be too old then.
Also tonight, and their sons, 13. Would you tarry for them until they're grown? Would you stay for them for having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much that the hand of the Lord has gone out for your sake against me.
Now what she just stated is not true. She does not mean it as a lie. God did not do this to her. God has a great plan, and the best is yet to be for Naomi. See, people tend to say that if a man or woman of God, something happens to you, say your body, say your eyes go blind and you get crippled, aha, false prophet, God is punishing you. I've gotten 2-page letters to telling me that, typewritten by people to tell me that. No. Stuff happens. There's a bumper sticker on some cars. Stuff happens. Jesus gave an example of that. The disciples said, who was it that sinned when the Tower of Siloam fell on those 18 people and killed them? Jesus said, nobody sinned. They didn't sin, nor their ancestors. It's not a generational curse. Stuff happens. I mean, you do die, you know. It is appointed man that wants to die, and after this, the judgment. It just happens. But she's thinking God did it. See, that is a misconception that we want to blame God. But she's not bitter against God. She just assumes he's punishing her for something, maybe for leaving the promised land.
14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her.
Oprah hugs her and kisses her and walks away with her stuff on a donkey. Ruth holds on for dear life to Naomi.
15, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law hath gone back unto her people and to her gods.
Now remember, Moab worshipped strange gods, even Moloch. For 10 years, these two young women, Oprah and Ruth, had been in this household. They had watched Naomi and then Elimelech and the two sons worship the one true God, Yahweh. Now, you can go to church all your life, and you can watch people worship. You can open your Bible. You can sing and pray. But is it real? This one, Oprah, decides, I'm going back to what I can feel and touch and see. Because where she was thinking is, this world is it. This is it. I need to have a life. But now, what about Ruth?
Return thou after thy sister-in-law.
You go too, Ruth, Naomi says. Catch up with her. Get your donkey over there so you won't have to go back alone. Hurry, Ruth. Catch up with Oprah.
16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, but to return from following after thee.
Mother Naomi, don't ask me any more to leave you. Now Ruth makes a 7-statement declaration of her loyalty to Ruth. This is you, Christian, elect. You are now Ruth, men and women. This is your declaration that you will be true to the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus. No matter what happens, you will never leave him. You will never forsake him. And I can assure, if you keep your vow, he'll keep his. This is far more than a daughter-in-law to a mother-in-law. This is the elect body of Christ to the Lord Jesus throughout the tribulation that's about to come on this land.
For whither thou goest, I will go.
Number one.
And where thou lodgest, I will lodge.
Number two.
Thy people shall be my people.
Three.
And thy God, my God.
Wow, 4. See, Ruth was really converted. Oprah went to church and heard the word, but she put it on a shelf. It never got inside of her. It was nice, and she was nice, but it got real to Ruth. She swallowed it. She lived it. She ate it. This was more of a declaration by Ruth to be true to the one true God, even than Naomi. And this is where you want to be, that no matter what, your God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay with Jesus.
17, where thou diest, I will die.
That would be 5.
And there will I be buried.
6.
The Lord do so to me, and only death part thee and me.
And that's number 7. Now the truth is that if you make this declaration and follow up on it with the Lord Jesus Christ, you who are saved, that death is never going to separate you from your beloved, because Hebrews 2:14, Jesus defeated death, whose name is the devil. So death can never separate us. You know, they've written this as a musician. I have it somewhere back in my archives back there. It's a beautiful song, often sung at weddings with these words. But this one, I would suggest all of you, and I charge you to take this declaration and go home tonight and make this your declaration to the Lord Jesus Christ and keep it.
18, when she saw that she was steadfast in mind to go with her, then she left speaking unto her.
Little technical difficulty there. When Naomi realizes that Ruth was determined, she just stopped saying go. She realized that Ruth meant business. Ruth was really converted.
19, so they two went until they came to Bethlehem.
Along they trudged with their donkey and their belongings.
And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem,
house of bread, where Jesus, the bread giver, lay in a little manger, a feeding trough, many years later.
All the people went round about them and said, "Is this Naomi?"
Everybody was so glad to see her coming, even though it had been over 10 years. They loved her. She was just one of those people that made things brighten up. You just knew that she was going to love you, through your pain, cry with you, laugh with you, dance with you, and she was going to move in there and help you. She wasn't going to stare at you. And so they were so glad. They were so glad to see her. And her name means the pleasant one. What a welcome. I want to say to anyone out there in cyberland, if you have gone outside the sanctuary, if you've gone astray from Jesus, it's not too late. Repent. Come home. And you get a hearty welcome from all of us. Come home. Come home to Jesus today.
Verse 20, and she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Myrrh, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me."
Myrrh, meaning very bitter.
21, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home empty.
Now to her, and to the natural person, she had a husband and 2 sons when she left. She's come back. She's a widow and no sons. There is a young woman with her. What she does not know, and what you do not know when you go through your dark travail, is that whatever seems to be lost, there is that double proportion coming back to you. What she does not know, that contained in this young woman that is with her, who is loyal to her, that everything is going to be replaced for her. She's coming back with her cup running over, but she does not know that. You did not know that until I just told you. But now in your dark moment, now do you understand? So you lost the job, so you lost the person, so you lost your health, so you lost your dog, so you lost your country. Well, for God's sake, God's got something better. There's a Ruth right beside
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Why then call me Naomi, whom the Lord hath testified against me?
She still thinks God's done this to her. She's in grief, so just give her a little bit of slack there. We'll bear with her.
And the Almighty hath afflicted me. Verse 22, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, and returned out of the country of Moab, and came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest.
Whoa, look at God, barley harvest. Now, when it's sowing time, you give and you empty out. But when it's harvest time, you gather in and you gain. It's harvest time.
Chapter 2, verse 1. and they only had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz.
Boaz means to quicken. He was very quick. There's a kinsman, and God's law says the kinsman takes care of the kin. The kinsman can redeem you, and he's very, very wealthy. Enter wealthy kinsman Boaz.
Verse 2, and Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go into the field and glean ears of corn after men in whose sight I shall find grace.
So she says, Ruth says, Mother Naomi, it's harvest time. When the workers and the reapers go in there and gather the grain, they usually drop a little bit off. Let me go and take a basket and gather some of that up. I'll work all day long, and I'll bring us home enough we can bake a loaf of bread. This was the custom that they would do that, and they would let the widows and orphans and poor people go and gather that, and it would just be a dropping, but if you got enough, you could bake bread. But it was very dangerous for women because sometimes the workers would rape them. But Ruth says, I'll find grace. I'll find unmerited favor. Mother Naomi, God's going to take care of me. What a statement of faith.
And she said unto her, go, my daughter.
Naomi just says, go ahead. She doesn't know what to do.
Verse 3, and she went and she came again to the field after the reapers, and her half was to lie on the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech.
Just so happened that the first field she goes to belongs to the kinsman, the nearest kinsman, the wealthy Boaz, the Israelite, the nearest kinsman. Nothing happens by chance. You did not hear this today by chance. You did not meet me today by chance. You're not listening to your radio, internet, or in this place by chance. All the things that are going on in you, if your life is about God, God plans and he orchestrates and he moves. Nothing happens by chance. Look at God's plan. Well, that's a cliffhanger. We'll have to start there next time. We'll pick it up right there. But right now it's time for Mystery Moment and questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I'd like to introduce you to the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Miss Sherry. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing really good. What a great book to get into, huh?
Well,
our first question, why is President Trump declaring Jerusalem the capital of Israel?
Because he's doing the right thing. President Trump is doing the right thing by God and by America. What a lot of people don't know is that David, the shepherd king, founded Jerusalem. It was a place called Jebus, and it was just wicked. And he went in there and conquered it, and he cleaned it up and called it, changed its name to Yerushalayim, the city of peace. And so then he dedicated it to God. And so then in Ezekiel 16, God loved Jerusalem so much that he spread his skirt over Jerusalem. In Bible times, men wore skirt. And when a man spread his skirt over a woman, that was the marriage. So God spiritually married Jerusalem and said in Ezekiel 16, I will make this my eternal home. And so after the great white throne judgment, God the Father, Revelation 21, is going to bring the heaven of Jerusalem right down here. Not only is it going to be the capital of Israel, but it's going to be the capital of the universe. And so see, Jerusalem is our barometer. So President Trump is right on. He's doing the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, we're actually seeing the Bible prophecy being fulfilled right before our very eyes.
Bible prophecy,
really,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Our next question. Mary and Elizabeth were cousins. Their mothers, who were the sisters, must have been very proud of them. Yeah.
I'm sure they were. Talk about keeping it in the family. Yes, Mary and Elizabeth were cousins. Elizabeth had to be a full-blooded Levite to be married to Zacharias. So that means that Mary's mother was a Levite, which gives us the way that Jesus is of the tribe of Levi, the priest, but he was of the tribe of Judah, king line by Mary's father. Yes, can you imagine the mother of those two sisters? That would be the grandmother of Mary and the grandmother of Elizabeth. They were saying, boy, one of my daughters, her child, is had brought forth John the Baptist, and the other daughter's brought forth the Messiah. Just keep it in the family.
I know, quite a line, right? Okay, and our next question. Did David leave his stuff in the cart?
David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag, and it's time now, ta-da, for Scott's stuff.
Humility will be the key to unlocking the spiritual nature of God's new revelations. We're going to have to be willing to put new wine into new bottles through the discernment of God's word as his manifestations develop within the spiritual realm of our physical world.
That is so beautiful. That's right. Always remember that whatever gifts we have, they come from God.
Humility.
And to whom much is given, much is required. Thank
Amen.
You, Scott.
You're
That's
welcome.
Absolutely beautiful. Now, I want to pray for all of you who are sick or in pain. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask by the Holy Spirit now that the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings to the north, the south, and the east and west. Let there be the absolutely scrolls dropping forth relief in all of the pain in the bones and the marrow in the joints. Let there be ease. Let there be ease. Let there be ease. Son of Righteousness, laser beams into the heart and the lungs and the backbone and the spine. Unpinch the nerves. And Father God, cause the bones to be made strong, the legs, the backbone, the spine, the vertebrae, that the ears hear, the eyes see, heal the brains, dear God, and pancreatic cancer be gone in Jesus' mighty name. Muscle fatigue be gone in Jesus' name. Diabetes, you have to go to the abyss in Jesus' name. Let there be healing. He will restore health unto you. He'll heal you of your wounds. He will bring it health and cure. He will cure them. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. We feel that healing virtue flowing now. It's just pouring out, pouring out, pouring out of the airwaves right now. Reach up and grab it. Open it up like a water spout and receive your healing. With Jesus' stripes, you're healed. It is done. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, in a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number, so feel free to call and tell me that you were healed. Let me pray for any of you who are not saved. The most important thing is to get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. We don't want you going off to Moab. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Forgive my sins.
Forgive my sins.
Wash me clean with the blood of Jesus.
Wash me clean with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Use me. To bring many people,
to bring many people
into the kingdom,
of Jesus Christ.
Here am I.
Here am I.
Send me.
Send me.
I will.
I will.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. And don't forget, each Sunday, 5 p.m., Thursdays, 12 noon to 2 p.m., Scott and I are here to pray for you. Just walk right in or call in. Then Wednesday, 6 p.m., and remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Now remember, nothing is given you to keep. When you get these beautiful pearls, it would be a sin for you to keep them to yourself. That would be very selfish. It's a sin not to tell. Besides, Jesus said, go and tell. So you have to obey. Go and tell. Tell people about Trumpet of Truth. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock and my twin friend Scott Merson saying we love you. God bless you. God keep you. God make his face to shine upon you. And until next time, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at the same time for Trumpet of Truth.
City sidewalk, bright Saturday morning. Beggar with a halo shuffles up to me. He asks me for a coin and mumbles thank you and God bless you. Good deeds and halos, I'm not sure what I believe. He asks me, is there something I can give back to you? How about this halo for an hour or two? And now I'm sneaking into heaven with a borrowed halo, hoping no one notices my broken wings. Peeking through these gates and thinking, Lord, have mercy. I'm never gonna make it if it's up to me. Apostle Peter taps me on the shoulder, says, son, are you lost? I say, can you show me around? Well, I'd be glad to. Tell me what brings you to heaven today. I've always wondered what the fuss is all about. I feel like a kid flashing a fake ID, trying to slip past the authority. Now I'm sneaking into heaven with a borrowed halo, hoping no one notices my broken wings. Peeking through these gates and thinking, Lord, have mercy. I'm never gonna make it if it's up to me. Mr. Pedro, I have a little confession. I don't belong here and this halo isn't mine. Peter laughs and says, well, boy, haven't you noticed? We've all been broken, but now we're doing just fine. Cause nobody's good enough and up here we're all the same. We all get to heaven under someone else's name.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away. Purify my heart. Don't wanna lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on? With my one thing, you're my one thing. And the pure in heart shall see God. You're my one thing, you're my one thing. And the pure in heart shall see God. But you, Jesus, what better could I hope to find down here on earth? Well, I could cross the most distant reaches. There's a world, but I just be wasting my time. Cause I'm certain already, I'm sure I'd find you my one thing. One thing. You're my one thing. One thing.
And the pure in heart shall see God. Heart shall see God. Every night, every day, you hold on tight.
way, and you got to live with the choices you make. Oh Lord, please give me the strength to watch and work and love and sing and pray. 'Cause who have I in heaven but you, Jesus? Oh, what better could I hope to find down here on earth? Oh, I could cross the most distant reaches. Oh, there's a world, but I just be wasting my time, 'cause I'm certain already I'm sure I find you my one thing. You're my one thing.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. out of love. Won't you hold on? Won't you hold on to me?
Calling Christians to Worship and the Study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Lift up a shout. listen to your heartbeat.
Listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, Titusville, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Blessed be the name.